When you hear the phrase soft as steel, what do you think of? While the word steel might conjure up images such as massive high-rise buildings, where does the soft part come in? And what exactly does this mean in our work and in our lives? Welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast with your host, Dennis Duran, featuring engaging conversations with a wide range of industry leaders around soft skills, how we practice love, inclusion, social justice, and compassionate leadership that's everlasting in the workplace. And now, here's Dennis Duran.
I'm especially pleased to welcome my guest to the Soft as Steel podcast. Irish Horsey is the Director of Industry Advancement for Procore Technologies. With over 25 years of experience, Irish brings a wealth of knowledge from both academia and the construction industry. Her journey has been marked by the development of a wide array of skills in administration, team leadership, program management, project management, real estate, and business development. She has a proven ability to effectively manage projects and exceed stakeholder expectations. And through her various academic posts, has an extensive knowledge of construction management practice and construction education. Of great importance and a primary reason for my being so excited about having this conversation with Irish is her passion for industry advancement and construction workforce diversity. Irish oversees a team of social impact specialists for Procore.org while being responsible for strategic planning and scaling of business operations. She expands the reach of Procore.org by advancing the construction industry through technology, education, and advocacy programs. She works closely with industry associations, nonprofits, builders, universities, and union training centers, providing in-kind donations of Procore's technology, implementation, and training services. Irish, welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dennis. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're happy, and so am I. So there's so much in who you are, and I mean that in a descriptive way. You have an incredible career history, both in academia and in the industry. Frankly, a little bit unusual in a really good way, because it's balanced. And I think that the beauty of that is that as you pursue your passion, and this is an impression, I want you to react to this, as you pursue your passion, you do it with, if I can say it this way, boots on the ground, practical experience in the industry that you think it's so important that we focus on the workforce and how to advance it, how to improve it, how to make sure that there is inclusion and justice or equity in the workforce. So you do it not from the HR perspective, although HR is important, of course, but you do it from the practice of managing construction projects, programs, et cetera, interacting with people who wear the boots, who have the tobacco in their mouths and all those kinds of things. You've done it all in your career. Is that a fair way of describing kind of who you are?
Yeah, I'd say so. My experience definitely started when I was the only woman on the job site, or one of few women, one of a few people of color, and just in observing that and recognizing that there was a need for more diversity in the industry early on stuck with me through the advancement of my career. And as I grew in my career, as I transitioned from industry to academia, like that experience never went away. And so even as I continued in academia, furthering my education, that subject was so important to me that I felt a need to do something about it, which is how I ended up at Procore. And you're absolutely right. I engage with folks who are currently in the industry, working with students, with diverse backgrounds, all of which are connected in some way to the construction industry, either through construction education, pursuing a degree in construction or a credential, or actually being a construction professional. So yeah, I think you've captured it pretty good, Dennis.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and I don't fixate on anything in particular as far as topic matter in these conversations. As you can tell, it is a conversation. But the one thing I think is worth saying, again, for you to add your additional thoughts, is I was having a call this morning. I have a peer group of association executives, and we were talking about our agenda for our fall retreat. And I mentioned two topics. One was women in the construction industry. And the other was the impact of technologies on the construction industry. And I described those to those individuals as being evergreen topics, because in my view, this is just from my perspective, both topics are about change. And one is very personal because it's about people and specific people who happen to be women. And I think that I'd like to be able to say, and I'm a pretty close observer of what's going on. I've had a number of really interesting women leaders on my podcast. Most recently, a woman by the name of Barb Allen, who I'm sure I see a little bit of a smile. She's done a magnificent job of creating a messaging. And getting an opportunity to take her thoughts about the rungs of the ladder that she talks about, and motivating people to think and to feel differently about inclusion, about social justice. Because again, it's going to take another generation, maybe more, before we really land in a place where specifically gender, along with other demographics, gender and demographics are simply going to be that, and that is a demographic piece of information. It's not going to define or provide an opportunity to resist the temptation to bring talented people into our industry. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for sharing that. And you know, just starting with the demographic of women, you're absolutely right. One of the top challenges the industry is facing right now, of course, is the labor shortage. And coupled with that is the lack of diversity. And for me, the solution is pretty obvious, or at least part of the solution. When you have almost 11% of women who make up the construction industry, with the rest 89-90% being male, there seems to me a pretty obvious demographic that we should be targeting and reaching out to recruit and retain in the industry. Very passionate about the promotion, the advancement, the recruitment of women in construction. Really passionate about it from the perspective, again, of construction education, from academia, recruiting more women in the discipline of construction management or the trades, pursuing certifications or apprenticeships in construction and construction-related fields, as well as women who are already currently in the industry. The retention factor is also somewhat of a challenge, because what we're seeing and recognizing is that women are actually entering the construction industry. Now we're having an issue of keeping them there. And one of the ways that we can mitigate that is to help ensure that there is support, that there's programming, that there's other women that are in leadership roles who can help grow and develop talent within an organization. So it's definitely an ongoing process that has to happen from the generating outreach and interest to pursuing a construction career to also keeping those that are interested in pursuing the career in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned 11%, and I think actually if you drill that down a touch, what you realize is about 5% are mm-hmm. field positions, or operations position,
yes.
Which were the numbers in terms of need is significant. And this is, again, where I connected to the other evergreen topic. One of the other things that's changing is the advent of many different types of technologies. Obviously, the technologies that Procore brings to the marketplace are hugely valuable.
Yes.
Just in order to promote the exchange of information, decision making, etc. It's magnificent products, but there are other things, and there are other things that can provide the opportunity for gender not to be a disqualifier. And I think that. I think that one of the things that's kind of dragging on us, I could have every week a guest on and talk primarily with regards to gender, diversity generally, and attracting talent to the industry. I could probably find someone that has views on that, experiences about it, stories to tell, or opinions to offer that may be helpful every week. And in fact, if you look at the guests I've had on for the last few months, I've had a heavy dose of really outstanding female leaders and others. Because at the end of the day, just as you know, workforce overall is an issue. The whole notion of shortage and shortage. You know, some people define shortage as simply numbers. When I think about shortage, I think about there is availability. There are people. So the first thing we have to do is Sean Strickland, who's the executive director of the Canadian Building Trades, during a conversation I had with him, he said, the thing we need to do is we need to tell a different story about the construction industry.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, 100% agree. My interest in construction started, I was about 8 years old. Of course, and you've probably heard similar stories, just always infatuated with like building blocks and Legos and just wanting to play with those building toys. Was never really interested in playing with dolls, like, for example, with Barbie. I was more infatuated with the Barbie dollhouse. I wanted to put the house together, but not necessarily play with the doll. And at the time that I was growing up, I didn't see commercials with girls who were in building products or in engineering. And so I didn't recognize right away that was actually a career path that I could follow because I didn't identify. However, my passions, though, were all related to buildings. My interest in the built environment came, like I said, by the time that I was 8 years old, I was like making models out of Play-Doh of buildings. By the time I was in the seventh grade, I went on a field trip where we flew to Washington, D.C., and we flew over the Pentagon, which blew me away. I saw a building that was actually like shaped like a geometric shape and was fascinated that someone could come up with that idea and build something like that and put it together. And that has stuck with me like my entire life. And so even without representation or a relatability to the industry, I had a desire to pursue it. It was a part of me and it was something that I was very interested in. And so now we have more visibility. There are more women entering the industry. We're starting to see more representation, but there is still a better story that we can tell to not just women, but to young girls in recruiting in this industry for sure. And getting more women in leadership roles and getting more exposure and hearing more voices is definitely a way to help share that story.
Yeah. And I, it's again, you're affiliated with Procore. You're in Procore.org, and it's easy to see that Procore is making a tremendous investment in industry advancement, and obviously for a variety of reasons, including business reasons.
Right.
But what comes through, at least as an observer of the industry from me, is the fact that you went to the point of establishing a separate entity to house all of your advancement pursuits, and you're highly visible. And the bottom line, to use the financial term, the bottom line is that will return, but it doesn't come across again to me as an observer of the industry. It doesn't come across as you promoting Procore. You're very careful, and again, this is just my assessment. You're very careful to keep the mission and purpose and the focus pure. Am I seeing it right? Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. The mission and vision of Procore, we want to connect everyone in construction on a global platform, and we want to improve the lives of everyone in construction. We definitely are proud of our product. We are definitely advocates of advancement in the industry, but beyond the product, we want to be seen as those advocates. We want to be seen as transformational. We definitely want to support the construction community, which is the community that we serve. And we're doing that through the philanthropic work that we do through the .org.
Yeah, I had a chance a few weeks ago to have a conversation with one of your colleagues, Jennifer Trinidad. And we had a wonderful conversation. Her background and the expertise that she brings to Procore is to my way of seeing it, is very much an indication of your focus as an organization. Yes. on people. Yes. You're a technology company, but this for lack of a better way of saying is, you know, my take is that you're accomplishing being a leading technology company by focusing on people, both the externally, meaning the markets you serve, the people who work in the different industries, or the ones that use your tools and technology, et cetera, as well as how you go about developing the people inside your organization. And I think Jennifer kind of operates somewhere in that space
Yeah, absolutely. She does. She works with our construction education team. And one of the reasons they exist is to help educate internally and externally on, our product, but also on the topic of the industry, of the construction industry. In addition, you mentioned people. We are definitely a people first company, people first culture. And one of the ways that's easily seen is through the representation that we have through our employee resource groups. At Procore, there are 9 employee resource groups that are highly supported by our C-suite, our executives, who really value the employees' opinions and their concerns, and really want to have an understanding of the people that work at Procore. Mm-hmm. One of our groups is the WIN group, which is the Women in Network, which is comprised of women who work at Procore. It gives us a space to communicate, to connect, to express concerns, and to just have a safe space as women in the company to explore and to have conversations with each other about topics that are relevant to the company and to the industry. And that's just one example.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it seems to me again that I recently interviewed someone who was talking about a technology they have developed, an app that facilitates the opportunity to consider revenue sharing and bonusing down to the crew level in totality, not to individuals but to crews. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I'm sure it's not the first of its kind, but it's fairly early on. Mm-hmm. And his premise for developing this technology, this app, was as a way to let people know that work for the contractor, that the owners, whoever runs the company, that they care about their people and wanting to give them the opportunity to be able to enjoy good earnings based on good results. Right. You know, some people say, you know, the old, you know, my version of the industry was, you know, was a boot up the rear end, was a lot of harsh language, a lot of sexist language and harassing language was all just part of the common day culture of our industry. Sadly, in a fair number of aspects, it still exists today. Again, until the rest of my generation has gone off to the happy construction land in the sky, hopefully mine will be in the sky. We continue to drag folks back. I was just teaching a class out on the West Coast this past week, and we were talking about diversity and inclusion. And no surprise, in this class of, I think there were a dozen people in the class, relatively small, one was a female. She happened to be in an important operational role on a day-to-day basis and a good-sized contractor in California. And the balance were men. No boomers except the instructor, the old guy. But one of the probably a Gen Xer, he was so determined to hold on to the old view, so determined to say that, you know, why do we need to do anything different for women? If they can do the work, great. But if they can't, why are we trying to make it so they can do the work? And frankly, I had a hard time keeping my calm demeanor because I was not going to make any headway with him. And sadly, that mentality is sprinkled like bad fairy dust around our industry. So the work that you do in your role currently, in addition to your operational role, but your work in terms of industry advancement, has to continue. You know, I know that, you know, that I hope the good Lord will give me a few more years to continue to carry my messaging around this, because all I do is have conversations like this. You know, I'm not an expert on anything. I'm a learner, and I've learned more in the last 20 years than I probably learned in the previous 50 years, and mostly about people. How important is to hold on to that focus on people? And you said, as you, I think it's in your company literature, I think you used the phrase people first.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are the key. You nailed it. I think in order for the industry to advance, no one person, no one entity is going to be able to solve this, the challenges that we're facing. It's going to take people, and it's going to take different people from all types of backgrounds, all kinds of walks of life, to help advance the industry. You're absolutely right. People are key, and I think you mentioned there are definitely going to be some resistance, but with all change is resistance. Mm-hmm. But that's why the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, the work that people are doing, whether together or separately, to move the industry forward is so important. Again, like I said, it's going to take everyone to really make the change that we need to see happen. And if we are resistant to this change, there will not be enough workers to meet the demand of the work that we are of the construction demand that is out there today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to say on that point that, at least again, from my vantage point, we're talking a lot every day about artificial intelligence.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, which is incredibly valuable, tremendously useful if used in the right ways. And we're finding good ways to use it. But by the same token, when I talk about soft skills versus hard skills, one of the most important soft skills, is something called empathy. You know, they will not come up with a version of artificial intelligence which will be empathetic, or caring, or loving, or any of those things which are, as I talk about soft skills as qualities, those qualities which make you someone that people want to work with and work for, and also are predictive in looking at people who are succeeding and becoming great leaders. Those great leaders are the ones that understand, appreciate, and incorporate their soft skills and how to go about engaging with everybody they engage with every day. And so I call soft skills a difference maker. And I believe with every fiber of my being that it's not mushy soft stuff. And that's why one of my phrases is soft skills are the hardest to learn, because it requires a person to look at themselves. And that we get into the realm of looking at things like emotional intelligence and the attendant self-awareness, et cetera. And then I say to people that as I may have said it earlier, but I'll repeat it possibly, and that is that you have to keep in mind what's really important is how you are when you're doing what you do. You could be the most gifted programmer, the most prolific genius at innovation, the fastest writer of code, the best carpenter. But if you're not somebody that people want to be around and have around, then it's not a question of if, it's a question of when you will hit the wall.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, when I work with students and employers for that matter, and we're talking students, construction students, industry professionals in the construction industry, and I ask the employers, what is it that they're looking for in students? Well, you know, the majority of students who are applying for jobs have that technical skill. Like they're going to school, they're getting internships, they're learning what they need to learn to be excellent in the technical aspect of a position within the industry. However, what employers say is really important are those skills that you're talking about, those soft skills, or those skills that are essential to just being a human being and being the person that people want to be around at work. And you're absolutely spot on with those skills being, if not equally or even more important than those technical skills, because you can develop technical skills. The soft skills, that's what's important. And I think that's what moves a company forward, or an industry forward for that matter.
Yeah. So it's a trick question. I thought I'd tell you that in advance of asking it. So when you hear, in the context of your professional life, so let's leave it there. I think it might be less of a trick.
Okay.
When you hear the word love, how do you relate to that?
Oh my gosh. Well, for me, yeah, if we could keep it professional for sure. Mm-hmm. But because I am a spiritual person and I believe that God is love, that does spill over into my professional mm-hmm. life. And I think love is key to anything. I think, whether there are disagreements, whether you, are not in alignment with someone, whether there is conflict, if you can approach those things out of love, I think that resolutions can happen and you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that very much. You know, I would say, and I agree with the spiritual connection. I enjoy that, and it's made my life a better life.
Absolutely,
moment to moment. One of my mentor, who actually wrote the foreword to my book. The book title, as you probably know, is Soft as Steel. Isn't that a great title?
Yes, it is. I love it.
I love it too. But in his first book on leadership, which he published probably 22 years ago, he's a fairly well-known, I would put him in the top tier of leadership speakers. His name is Steve Farber. I enjoy mentioning his name because he's had such a profound benefit to my life. Mm-hmm. And in his first book, he included the following. He said, do what you love in the service of people who love what you do. Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard those words uttered by him, and then I looked at it on paper, I mean, I was smacked on the side of the head. And to this day, there's not a day that goes by. I have a couple little prayer things that I do, but I also think about those phrases.
Absolutely.
because it's just, and I know that, whether those phrases, are exactly the way you might describe it for yourself, but I just know from what little I know about you and people like Sasha, mm-hmm. I think those phrases are things that can certainly resonate with you. And you probably nod your head and say, yeah, that makes sense. Out of love, and your phrase, I love that as well.
Yeah.
Because again, loving what you do doesn't mean everything's great every day.
No.
So what other thoughts do you have?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that quote that you just mentioned, and you're absolutely right. Even my personal mission statement, which is to encourage and to teach and build precious spaces to serve others, that as long as I'm doing that in some form or fashion, I'm living out my purpose. And even in just those few words, you can hear and sense that the root to all of that is love.
So we talked about love specifically. We've been talking a lot about inclusion mm-hmm. and about social justice. The only little side thing I want to take for a minute on social justice is just to see if your thoughts are in the ballpark of where mine are. When I think about social justice, and those four points originated back around the time of George Floyd. So when I think about social justice, I think about that extreme version that's based on discrimination and hate and those kinds of things. But I also think about it as it relates to opportunity.
Absolutely.
And opportunity for women, opportunity for minorities and for other people of color. So I think that as I think about those ideas going forward, I guess maybe this is my last question. What does it look like to you? And just, I won't be specific as a number, but what does it look like to you a few years from now as it relates to the dialogue, the nature of it, and the extent of it around issues that relate to inclusion and social justice in our industry?
For me, if we can continue to move the needle forward, to continue to have these types of conversations, continue to encourage and promote the construction industry as an industry of choice for this next generation, we could very well be looking at a construction industry that is starting to look like the world around us. But that's only if we can continue to move the needle forward. If these conversations were to stop, if the progress that we have been making somehow discontinues or slows down, then the benefit could have a negative impact and we may not see the diversity that we could see in the industry.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I hate to say this, the next sentence. I do not want to say the next sentence, but I'm forced to. We're at the end of our time.
Okay.
I could very easily, it'd be effortless, continue this conversation with you. We share values.
Yeah, absolutely.
We share perspectives. And that's energizing in and of itself. And again, today we're having this conversation at the time when I'm usually taking my afternoon nap. So I have forsaken my nap. Juan knows, our producer knows, that this is my usual nap time. No, but on a serious note, the conversation with you has been a gift to me. It's so important for me to hear from people who are clearly out, visible, are influencing people's thoughts and their feelings about important things that are necessary for our industry to continue to succeed. The construction industry is never going to go away,
right,
and hammers will still be used for an appropriate purpose, but there will be other tools, and you're creating many of those tools. Yes. And there's robotics, and there's, again, the artificial intelligence and application, everything from reading a construction drawing to thinking about conflicts on a drawing where they're going to put new electric lines or piping systems or whatever, just all those kinds of things. But none of that has anything to benefit the fundamental fact that we're all human beings.
Absolutely.
And there's one thing, and I say this with great, great urgency, there's one thing that you and I have in common with each other and with every other person that we meet, and that is we are different from each other. That's a fact. What we do with that is what we need to continue to work on changing. And your great work at Procore and just your presence in the industry are so important to that. Thank you so much for being on the Soft to Steel podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dennis. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today for this episode of the Soft to Steel podcast with your host, Dennis Duran. Dennis is the author of Soft as Steel and a leading speaker and trainer for organizations across many industries and verticals. To learn more about the work Dennis is doing to activate soft skills in the workplace, contact him at DennisDuranSpeaking.com. Be sure to check out his book, Soft as Steel, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you'd like to get your podcasts. And please remember to share this episode with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you feel would benefit from the conversation. We'll see you next time on the Soft as Steel podcast with Dennis Duran.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.